camera on, filming challenges in my room, just to carry on, living my day to day with zero views, in a marathon, out of shape in a rat race with no rules. Oh, yeah. See, I'm too featherweight, flightless bird, I'm floating on a storm.
You're tuned to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm your host, Taya J. I'm joined today on the show from their homes in Brooklyn, New York, by Corey Smith West and Devin Hobdy of the musical duo Bathe. When I spoke with the duo, they were preparing for their first headlining tour and celebrating the release of their new EP, Inside Voices, Side A. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoy. Well, gentlemen, it is a pleasure to have you on Talkin' Music here on our KVNF airwaves. Thank you for making time to chat with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
I know that the two of you met at the University of Pennsylvania. Do you remember the moment when you sort of realized that you had something, that you shared something special musically?
Yeah, I think I always tell a version of this story. But Corey and I had always been in each other's respective orbits, just kind of never really like intersected in a meaningful way until this one summer. We were all living in the same sort of like house full of artists in Philly. Off campus. And on this particular day, I think me and some homies decided we would do a little bit of a mushroom trip. Am I allowed to talk about that on this?
Definitely. Psilocybin's legal in Colorado. So yeah, sing the praises of the mushroom.
Okay. It was incredible. It was such a good time. Everyone was like, it was my first time trying it. But I think that there was one of my friends who's kind of got into this spiral. I think he was stuck in a loop. And I think after hearing him like struggle for a bit, I think it started to bring down the mood of the entire group. And all of a sudden we were all just kind of not in the best headspace during this trip, at like the height of this trip. And then all of a sudden the door opens, Corey walks in, he sees all of us struggling, and he just like takes control of the music. And he plays this song by Jonah Baseball off of SoundCloud during like the peak SoundCloud days. And all of a sudden, like, it felt like the clouds parted and everyone's moods lifted. We eventually went outside to go play some Frisbee. And it was kind of then that like I realized that like not only did his music taste save this trip, but like I wanted to be friends with him for a long time.
I love that. Speaking to the healing power of music, man.
Right.
Corey, what's Absolutely. Your version of the story?
Flash forward a little bit. Like, I think that was the inception of our friendship, but I think when we really hit our stride musically was maybe like a year or two later. We had already put out a project together as part of a trio with our friend Ivy Soul, who's a super talented rapper. Look up Ivy Soul if you have a moment. Dev and I were living in New York and our rooms were right next to each other. And so whenever we would work on music, we would like hear each other's music through the wall. And over time, it was kind of like slowly but surely, I'd be helping him out with the song, he'd be helping me out with the song. And then we were just like, what if we just put all these songs together? And that was kind of like the inception of Bathe, like proto Bathe was just sharing a wall. I think, you know, I look back and I'm like, wow, like I think me and Devin were the last two people to sign on this like roommate situation with all these with all of our college friends. So I feel like we picked our rooms last. So I think it was just like happenstance. But I wonder if Devin's room had been, if we hadn't shared a wall and his room was one room over, like we might be looking at a completely different project right now, you know?
It's like one of those synchronistic moments or one of those crossroad moments where you're not quite sure, you know, you could have taken a totally different path and ended up somewhere totally different.
Exactly.
I'm curious for you, Corey, what was your musical diet growing up? What kind of shaped you into the person that you are musically?
Well, I'm a proud Jamaican, so just reggae music, dancehall music, rocksteady music, just always on in the background for my entire life in terms of like just being around my family. My granddad was a reggae guitarist in Jamaica, and which I didn't find out until I had already been playing guitar for a while.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I could go on a whole, I actually have his guitar. It's like an heirloom. It's kind of like, I don't really play it. I just have it. Certain things travel, you know, certain memories travel through DNA is like a theory. Anyway, you know, that's a different show. You know, reggae music, always in the background. My mom loved soul music. when she was a kid, a lot of, James Brown, Temptations, like she was going out and seeing them at shows. So she just really wanted to expose us to that. My older cousin was a huge hip hop head. That was the first style of music I could say I honestly was like a nerd for. It was like MF Doom, Tribe Called Quest, Lupe Fiasco. As I got to high school and I started hanging out, there was like a pretty, it was a little small, but pretty like fun, like indie rock scene at my, I went to like a boarding school. So there's a little bit of an indie rock scene where we'd meet up after class every day and just play indie rock songs. So I kind of got into like Arctic Monkeys, branched, Pixies, Nirvana, like learning through my friends in high school. And then I would say I really didn't start listening to R&B like that, beyond, like beyond having it beyond in the background until I got to college. And then I kind of really fell in love with that genre.
And I'm curious, you guys are described as an R&B duo, but what's your relationship to genre? Do you feel like that accurately describes you?
I hope this doesn't sound too pretentious, but I think that genre is for everybody but the artist. I think it's really, when you're in the studio, I think it holds you back to be thinking about, oh, I want to make a specific genre or a specific, check off these specific boxes. I think it's better just to make something that feels real and like put your life into your music and then. You let the label and let your fans and let the, listeners be the ones to add these labels to it. So for me, it's always just curious to see what is thrown around. Like, for instance, it feels really obvious now, but a lot of people call our music really chill. But I never really had picked up on that while we were making the actual records, But I think if I went to the studio and was like, I need to make a bunch of chill beats, I feel like it would make the music less interesting.
Yeah, totally. Well, and just because the music comes out sounding chill doesn't mean that the process was chill to get there, right?
Yeah, or that the memories or that the life experiences that inform the music were chill. Sometimes beneath chill music is like some pretty not chill life experiences. But that's what makes it interesting, like that push and pull. And that's why I don't really take issue with like the chill label or any honestly any labels that anyone gives the music. Like if that's what if attaching a word to it helps enrich your ability to listen to it, then go for it.
Yeah, that's a nice way to think about it. I think genre too has the capacity to really limit artists. If you are confined to a genre, it means that there's like an expectation, and then you're making music for somebody else versus making it for yourself.
Exactly. That literally you summed it up so much more concisely than me, but yeah.
No, I mean, you're not alone in it. I talk to a lot of musicians, and a lot of them say the same thing, just that limitation is so frustrating. And that's true of any creative process, right? The minute you're known for doing something a certain way, you're held to that kind of standard.
I just think it's better not to get too caught up because I think there is utility in genre labels. I just don't think that the utility is for the artist. I think, for instance, if you're making playlists, it is a it makes your life a little easier to be able to type in, our upbeat R&B and then have a list of stuff that's generally in that proximity. But I just think when you're in the studio, I would stay away from, pulling up a synth and then putting upbeat R&B in and only using those sounds. I feel like that might be limiting and make the act of making music a little less fun.
She said the fool's got it wrong. Fortune only favors the strong. Trace the grooves in my palms. I got some bad news for you, bad news for you. Whisper to an old stone. Bad news for you. Bad.
That's Bad News off Bathe's new EP. Devin and Corey of Bathe joining me today on Talkin' Music.
I want to talk about your new EP, Inside Voices, Side A. It's the first collection of new music since your 2021 album, Bicoastal. And I'm curious if we can talk a little bit about how the reception of Bicoastal contributed to the creation of Inside Voices.
100%. When you have an album that is well received, you go to a lot of different places. You have the highs and your ego getting blown up of like, oh, I told everybody this is a sound that, you know, people would like, and I get the gratification of being affirmed. But then you also have some negative sides of like, this, oh, can I ever make something this good again? Or, oh, maybe people only like my music for this reason or that reason. That's not what I initially intended. And no one really prepares you for that roller coaster ride. And you just kind of have to kind of figure it out yourself. I think how that played out for us is I think we needed to take a little bit of a break after Bicoastal. I think there was probably a good year where we both pursued other creative interests. And I think it was really healthy and useful. But after that, I mean, the whole time we were both making demos and stuff, but when we finally felt up to it, we kind of got back into the process of Inside Voices. And I remember we were sitting in an Uber, like probably leaving a friend's house, because me and Dev are friends in real life, not just in the context of the band. And I remember just talking about the album and just saying, you know, the only requirement, the only pressure we want to put on ourselves is just to make something that feels true to us. Mm. And we don't feel strong. Like, we don't have to follow up Bicoastal. We don't have to outdo Bicoastal. We don't have to make something that's going to immediately satisfy people who liked Bicoastal. Let's just make something that feels real. And once we both agreed on that, it just made the entire process a lot easier. It was definitely, I think we've yet to make a true studio album. It's still very, like, recorded in bedrooms and, you know, with free studio time here and that kind of thing. I think that's, you know, just how we like to work. That was pretty much, you know, how Bicoastal informed Inside Voices. It was just kind of learning how to get out from behind that shadow.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. I'm curious if you had to describe the flavor of Inside Voices Side A, what would you say the flavor is?
I would say daydreamer, sunshine, anthems.
Daydreamer, sunshine, anthems. I like it. Devin, what about you?
I was going to take this in a completely different direction. I was literally going to say, I was just going to say orange creamsicle, you know, like it feels like the perfect accompaniment to like a summer day. Like, you want something sweet, you want something a little bit tangy, but really you just want it to like help you relax. I think that's kind of like, yeah, Side A is the poolside accompaniment in the context of the album. Side B is where we start to go down some corridors, but yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I love that. Orange creamsicles are my favorite sweet treat, so you're speaking to my soul right now. I know that the album, you've kind of alluded to this, and I know that the album is really about those inside voices, about some of those sort of like ways of being kind and gentle to yourself in the creative process. And I'm curious for each of you, what are the things that you most need to hear from your inside voices?
Go to sleep. That's the number one. Probably go to sleep and drink some water. And then I think, okay, like getting away from like the literal interpretation. I think the inside voice that says it's okay to fail, like failure is not the end of the world. Like failure is a good thing. Failure means you tried. I think, I'm first generation Jamaican. I come from a, my entire childhood, I spent being raised by people who couldn't afford to fail and at what they did, like no safety nets. So I
Yeah.
think as an artist, it can be, you can put yourself in a position where you feel like if this song doesn't work out, or if this idea isn't the greatest idea ever, or if this beat doesn't get chosen, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And it can make you really scared from making bold artistic choices, but that's those bold choices are what people remember and what people look to us even for. So I think the inside voice that slowly emerged over this process, and one that I think it took a while to come back after having a successful album, was the one that says, "Hey man, like just ha you know, like whatever you do is gonna be all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay."
Yeah. Heck yeah. I think they're kind of two dueling voices fighting for control of my brain. I think the first is one that like invites me to continually compare the success of Bathe to other artists that are in our orbit or that are in similar sort of lanes. And then the voice that I try to compensate with is one that tells me that comparison kills. And so depending on how much water I've had or how I'm feeling that day, one voice kind of takes over. And that kind of sets the tone for how I approach things creatively, my mood, how I relate to the people that I love, Corey included. And so I think that, part of the process of creating this album is sort of realizing that like our trajectory with Bathe has always been incremental. It's always been like a series of firm but pretty like small steps forward. And what separates us, I think, from a lot of folks in our lane is that like we're just persistent. Like we know that there's no meteoric rise for us necessarily, but there is us sort of showing up every day, taking small steps forward in our craft, continually getting better. And I'm hoping, not hoping, but I think we're getting to the point where I think there's no point in us sort of comparing our trajectory to anyone else because it's this own, it's been this own beautiful journey. So yeah.
Right. And what someone else has done has already been done, right? I
It's
mean,
been
there's,
done.
yeah. Yeah. There's something exciting about just kind of leaning into the unknown and seeing where it takes you. I also think the meteoric rise isn't always, I mean, there's something to be said for being sustainable. There's something to be said for thinking things through and doing things with intention so that you have a better shot of the slow burn rather than that sort of meteoric flare.
Absolutely. And I think this is something Corey and I talk about all the time, where I think if we had been where we are now in terms of our careers at like 23, 24, 25, we would have burned out. We would not have had the psyches to be able to like really deal with the not only the pressures, but also like the praise, right? Like that can really like warp someone's brain when they're like when their egos haven't fully developed. And I think that Corey and I, having taken the journey that we've had, has put us in the position to sort of like grow as people in addition to growing as a band. And I think it's been solid for us mentally, I'd say.
Story straight out in the sun. south side of somewhere. Yeah, I don't know what part of the south side of somewhere. Jesus took the wheel, yes, and didn't take us nowhere. And ain't that something? Ain't that something?
We just heard Ba Da Da from Bathe, Devin and Corey of the duo joining me today.
Can we talk a little bit, side A is out, can we talk a little bit about side B and what to expect? What's the flavor of side B?
If side A is like an extrovert, side B is it's like there's like the introvert. It's kind of more of like a sit at home and, you know, with a cup of tea and think about your life type of record. Yeah, I don't know, Dev, what do you do? What thoughts have I not mentioned?
I think you really hit it. I think, you know, the name of the project is Inside Voices. Side A captures like those friendlier thoughts, the thoughts that are sort of like kinder to you, that are motivating. Side B kind of deals with like the doubts and the fears that you have, not only as a musician, but as a person who is aging, as a person who is sort of going through life and figuring out how to do it as every day passes. And so I think, yeah, Corey hit the nail on the head, but I think it's definitely those like the thoughts that can lean towards being less kind.
I think what's cool about that too is that feels very human to me, right? That multiple things can be true at once. You can have that sunny side and then you can have that more sort of deep thinker, slower thinker, internal dialogue going on at the same time. I just love the sort of permission for both things to be true and both things to coexist at the same time.
Definitely. When I was in college, I studied English. And you know how you have a professor that changes your life and just changes how you think of the world? Like that professor for me was Anthony DeCurtis, who was like a writing teacher, like specifically does music journalism. Like he teaches at Penn. And something he said to me that always has stuck with me is that like great art showcases the full spectrum of the human experience, you know? And I feel like that's something I've always tried to like carry forward as like, at first as a writer, but now as a musician, like you don't just want to show the happy moments. You want to show the melancholy. You want to show the highs, the lows, the elation, the despair, and everything in between. Because that's what it means to like be a person. And that's really when people see art. They see themselves in art is when they see, when you show off all the different colors, you know, in the rainbow of, you know, being a person and, you know.
Heck yeah. And if I can add to that, like, I wish I could say that us doing it this way was super deliberate. I think the reality is that like Corey and I excel at making music about really small emotional moments. Like we're not going to write like the grand, like party banger that's like larger than life. Like we really like to capture these small moments that like, you know, that feel like sitting on your couch, drinking a cup of tea. And so like the human life is just like comprised of these like subtly positive moments like that, subtly negative ones. And I think that like that kind of naturally lended towards the subject matter that we wound up exploring on the album. So it kind of just like, that's just the way the cards kind of fell, to be completely honest with you.
Totally. But I also think that's sort of the beauty of the process too, is that you don't know where you're going to end up with it. And then once it's out there and completed, you get to reflect on it. And also the listener is each going to form their own individual relationship to it based on where they're at and what they need.
Absolutely.
Also, never say never, you know, that Bathe featuring Fred again and Skrillex banger, that could be around the corner.
You know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I love that attitude.
I'm curious, what do you think the ideal setting and way to listen to the EP is? Is it from start to finish? Is there a particular landscape or place you feel like best suits it?
I would say Sunday evening with Bay, burning some incense, maybe some candles, sitting on your couch with your eyes closed, listening to the whole thing from top to bottom, and maybe occasionally pausing to muse on your thoughts on each song.
Love it. Any particular incense?
Probably lavender. A lot of the songs are made with lavender incense being burnt somewhere in the vicinity. So
I love that. I love that. It's crazy. I actually thought that we would have the exact opposite answers. But I would say that like splitting it up would be the way that I would suggest folks to listen to it. Like you wake up in the morning, you're taking that walk to sort of like shake off the sleep rust. You listen to side A. And then after, you know, you've had the very human experiences that you've had during your day and you're kind of like relaxing, getting ready to head to sleep, you throw on side B if you really want to go through an existential crisis to help with that sleep you're having.
Soothing existential crisis, though.
Soothing existential crisis.
Devin, should we also be burning incense at some point during that listening process?
Okay, I'm more of a candle boy.
Okay.
So, you know, lavender candle, let's get it. Let's get it. But either one, whatever, you know, excites your olfactory senses, go for it.
It sounds like there's some merch in your guys' future where you have bathe, lavender, incense, and or candles for sale that you sell with the album so that we can really create this experience.
It's coming. It's absolutely coming.
I love it. Appreciate you guys so much. Anything else you want to say?
Thanks for having us. We are going on tour. Sadly, the tour does not go to Colorado.
It definitely does not. Maybe Red Rocks is in your future someday, huh?
I would love that. Hey, that's what I'd like to say. Whoever books Red Rocks, get in touch.
Excellent answer.
Inside Voices Side A right now is out right now. Give it a spin. And thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. What's the date for Side B? Do you guys have a release date yet?
Early. Not yet. Go for it.
Like early, not yet.
Let's lock in early, not yet, and call it a day.
Love it. Love it. Well, we look forward to listening to it in the near future of early, not yet.
Thanks so much.
Sun's overhead, babe. Sipping tea down, it only gets better. Don't.
That was Corey Smith-West and Devin Hobdy of the musical duo Bathe. Thanks for joining us for Talkin' Music. I'm your host, Taya J. We're going to go out with Fields off Bathe's EP, Inside Voices, Side A. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Thinking of God you don't believe in. Stomach in knots but feeling fine somehow. The light on your face is hidden. Weight on my chest is getting lifted. Maybe for once you see me clear right now. But just in case you feel it, you wait for me to say the things we feel, darling. So close, so far away, out in the fields, living while we rather chase. Sun's on the way down. I'm laid out, clinging to your sweater. I surrender. The words are on the edge of my tongue. But you run, so I'm running too. Through the things with you. I know deep down you feel it. So close, so far.
wait for me to say.